I was thinking of that song we sang, song number 499. I'll just read a couple of those lines. The title of my message today is Forward, Men, Forward. So it's a Civil War battle line. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helper, other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? These four lines says, by thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we will do this. By thy love constraining, by thy grace divine. By thy grand redemption, by thy grace divine. And then the last line, joyfully enlisting. Are we joyfully enlisting, just giving our all to God? We are on the Lord's side, Savior. We are thine. I'd like to have a prayer here before I begin. I feel really nervous and scattered, so bear with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. Thank you, Father, for this day and for this opportunity. Father, as I share here these next couple minutes, Lord, be with me, strengthen my heart, Father, and help me to share what you want me to, and keep me out of the way, Father. Just bless the words that I share, that they could be edifying. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so going into it, first of all, I'd like to give you a picture of the Civil War battle, a Civil War battle scene here. Maybe I'll draw a little bit of something on the board. So often you'd have the enemy, you'd have a hillside, say like this. My marker will draw. Try a different one. So we have a hillside, and coming down the hill, a lot of times it was straighter though, more like a mountainside. Let me erase this one. And then you'd have a little dip here like this, and then it would come down again. And then we were down here, and the enemy is up here. Just to give you just a real little idea. Okay. And so as the enemy, we're down here. Me and you are down here. Our goal is to take the enemy off the top up here. And we're all in our tents. It's nighttime. And morning comes, our commander, our general, he sounds the alarm. He says, rise, it's time to get up, it's time to go. Roll call sounds, and it's time for us to move forward. We get into our battle formation. We line up down here, right down here, and we start walking forward. He says, march, men, march, and we start moving. We're walking forward. We got maybe 300 yards, maybe a quarter mile, maybe a half mile to the bottom of the hill, and we're all lined up. There's nothing happening. We're just walking. We have this anticipation in our hearts of, what's going to happen? We don't know. But our goal is the top. We need to take the enemy off the top. And as we start moving forward, it's easy moving. We're all just walking. It's easy stuff. You know, there's nothing hard about it. Our general's out front. He's leading us, and he's saying, let's keep going. Maybe there's a drummer out front to keep time. And as we start marching, we get to the bottom of the hill, and all of a sudden the bullets start because the enemy sees we're getting too close. It's time to knock these people off. And these enemies all entrenched up here. They've got maybe 30 to 60 guns, all depending. Big cannons trained down between a couple hundred to a couple thousand infantry. And they're all lined up waiting to unload on you and your column coming up. And the guns, you know, they shoot double shot. They shot canister and grape. You know, there was a scatter shot coming in. And when them things came off, like there was just a mass destruction of people. Sometimes it would take entire front lines down with one round. Just a whole column would disappear. We're at the bottom of the hill now. The enemy has started to shoot. And our commander says, charge, men. We're going to the top. Let's go. And me and you, we grab our rifles and our bayonets, and we run for the top. And we get to this little dip right here, and all of a sudden there's a calm. There's a quiet place. If you see, right here is protected by this hill. No longer can the enemy reach us with their bullets. And we all pause for just a little. We kind of regroup a little, fill in the gaps where people are all gone. And our commander, our general, he says, to the top, men. And he maybe looks at our bullets, and he maybe says, we're out of ammo, guys. We're going to need to use the bayonet. We're going to the top, though. And we grab our rifles, and we run the rest of the way up. And many times, there was people would stay right in that little dip because they were scared to come out. That was a little shelter for them. We get up to the top, we get up, and the whole time there's just hail of artillery into us, and our lines are being destroyed, and we continue to fill in the gaps. Our comrades are going down by the hundreds, and we continue closing in, and our line is getting shorter, but we're still going to the top. We've got to make it. We get to the top, and it's hand-to-hand combat. We're arm-to-arm. It's knocking each other over. We got to go. And we get to the top, and finally the enemy has had enough, and they can't hold us anymore. And they turn around, and they run off the bottom. They run off the other side of the hill. We take their guns. They leave their guns behind. They can't take them with them. We turn them around, and we train them on the enemy. We use their circumstances against them. I like to liken that a little to our Christian life. Many of us in here have started. We had that roll call called. We've all been sleeping. We've all been in our sin, and Christ, our general, called us. He sounded the alarm. Many of us have responded. We all got in battle line, and we started marching. The first 3/4 of a mile was easy. This is just walking. There's no complication. Life is easy. Our general's out front. Christ is leading us. We know who we belong to. We know whose side we're on, and we're going forward. We get to the bottom of the hill, and all of a sudden, things get a little tougher, but it's not too bad yet. You know, I mean, only a number of us fell by the wayside. You know, we're okay. Let's keep going. We get to, and all of a sudden, it gets tough, and we get to here, and we're ready for a break. And we get that little break in our lives, and we don't want to come out of it anymore. This is calm. It's easy. We stay right there, and we want to stop and just put ourselves in park. Christ, our general, he's out front. He says, we're not done yet. This little calm is not the end of the battle. We're just in a little break. We need to go forward all the way to the top. And we arm ourselves with the Spirit of God, and we need to go to the top to win this battle. Many times in our lives we park right here and we just stop and we stay there the rest of our lives. And I'd like to point out something. The enemy won't stop. You're never safe here, because the minute you step out of this hollow, there's only one way out, and that's into enemy fire. And when you turn your back and run, the game was over every time. It always worked that way. I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians 9. Go read verse 24 to the end. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So it's a little different picture. Bear with me here. One receiveth the prize. Only one's going to win in this earthly race. So run that ye may obtain. The thing I'd like to look at here is we need to have a vision. We need to know where we're going and what we're doing. And he says, run that we may obtain, with a goal in mind. Our goal is to take the enemy off the top. That needs to be our goal and our vision in this life. That we may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. They're careful. They watch. You know, that soldier that got up that morning at the Battle of Gettysburg, he did not climb out of his tent and meander over to the stream and wash his face. And then he went and talked to his buddy over here. And, hey, what do you think? We might take this battle today? Or maybe we'll just hang back and see what happens over there. There was a vision. We were going to the top. We needed to make it. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Many times you look around and people for earthly reasons put us as Christians to shame. They have nothing to do it for, and they do every little step of the way, you know, to win a race, to win a battle. You know, they're temperate in all things. They pay attention to what they eat and the exercises that they do. And we as Christians, we have so much more to live for. That's for a corruptible crown. And we have an incorruptible one that we're fighting for, and we often just meander around, and we don't put our effort into life. I therefore, verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's got a vision. He's got a purpose. He's not meandering over the hillside. He's going up to the top. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. He keeps his body under subjection. He pays attention to what he does with his life. He's got a vision. I'd like to go to Philippians 3, start in verse 3 and read from 3 to 14. Philippians 3. The thing I'd like to look at here is the way, so many times, let me give a little, many times in the Civil War, the war depended on a general. Here's actually a little quote from somebody that wrote about war. I don't even know if he was a general, who he was. He says, wars may be fought with weapons, but they are won by men. It is the spirit of men who follow and of the man who leads that gains the victory. It wasn't about the weapons. It wasn't about the war. Many times in the Civil War, the Confederates would be down to a quarter of the men, a half of the men. It was a complete unfair battle. They'd fight 1 to 10 and they'd hold them for hours. And the difference was the generals and the spirit of the men who follow, they were going no matter what. They were willing to die on the battlefield if that's what it took. And we have that spirit of our leader. Christ is there. The question is, are the men that following him, do they have the right spirit? Philippians 3, everything was on the general. We'll go to Philippians 3, starting in verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We're not counting anything on ourselves. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. So he goes through and lists his credentials here. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I mean, he's perfect. But what things were gained to me in this life, they were gained to him. What things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Just counted them nothing. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Just like we count them but nothing. Complete trash for the victory of Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, nothing I've done, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. His drive, his desire was to know Christ, to be in him. And in these battles, you read many of these private soldiers wrote of a battle. Never have I read of one that wrote of his own accomplishments. He never said, I knocked 30 soldiers out with one shot. Never. It was, my general was out front leading me. My general, at the risk of his own life, was walking our front lines, encouraging us. Half hour longer, men. We got reinforcements. Can you hold us a half hour? You need to. It was never me. I held him another half hour. It was my general, what he did for me. And that's how we need to be for Christ. Nothing on our own. It's us for Christ with him as our leader. That's how Paul was here. Nothing I've done. It's all in Christ. And then he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Verse 13. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you look here, this doesn't sound easy, does it? This little, his verse 13, 14 there, or 14 especially, I press toward the mark. That doesn't sound like walking gently. That's a battle. And that's how our lives need to be. Christ, he's that perfect general. He's in front of us. He's never behind us saying, you guys got it, you know, you'll probably be okay. He's out front. He's given his life for us. And we need to be there and follow him. And you know, I think sometimes leaving this little hole right here where many Christians park, sometimes it's being practical. It's not all mind thing. You know, in the battle often is said, you know, the battle is lost and won in the mind. And that is correct. We need to have our mind needs to be set the right way, but when it is, it'll come out in practical things. We'll see evidence of where our mind is at. Just in many, many different things. I was thinking Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 3. Let me read that quickly here. If I can find it, I'll read it. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, to that perfect general, we need to run that race. We need to make it to the top. By looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. We need to look at Christ and what he's done for us, and it'll give us that courage and that inspiration to fight that battle all the way through. Another thing I thought, he said to lay aside every weight. You know, those soldiers for some reason didn't take their knapsacks with all their picnic lunches on their backs up to the top of the mountain. I'm not sure why. It seems like they might have got tired halfway up and wanted some food. But for some reason they didn't. And it's because it's too much weight. They had to let go of everything that they didn't need to win that battle. And that's what the writer here is telling us, to lay aside these weights because we've got a battle to finish. We need to get rid of these things that are besetting us, these sins that continually throw us for a loop, you could say. And we need to run that race with patience. You know, and I had to think, I don't want to make it sound like it's all just a battle for nothing. I had to think every battle has a reward. Every battle that's won, there's a reward. We have this, there's a victory. And I'd like to go to Revelations. I'll read some of these verses about heaven. Revelations 21. Just picture with me. After this battle is over, after our fight is gone, this is our reward. This is for each one of us. It's not unattainable. It's not like it's that hard. There's a battle, but it can be done through Christ. Verse 1 in chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. God is with us, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. You imagine being there, and God is there. You can see him. He's with me now. He's no longer, you know, there's often these times where we pray, and we're going through a battle, and we wonder, where are you? Why do I not feel you? God is with them, and he shall be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I'd like to go to chapter 22 and read a couple verses there, starting in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him forever. You know, sorry, I did not say forever. And his servants shall serve him. Now I was thinking, we cannot expect to serve God in heaven if we can't do it here. Our life needs to be completely sold out here, or how will we for ages and for days and for weeks say holy, holy, holy if our life doesn't say it here? Verse 5, and there shall be no more night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You know, children, it's a little scary going outside when it's dark, right? Just a little. I mean, it's completely dark out, and all of a sudden your cat goes running by out of the bushes, and you're like, ah, that was scary. Anyway, no more night there in heaven. Nothing to be scared of. The Lamb is the light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So, yeah, I guess those are just some encouraging. I was going to read Revelations 2, verse 10, the end of it. It says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That crown is for each one of us. All we got to do is be faithful to death. And just remember, we're not home yet. The war is not over. But the victory is ours if we claim it. And the enemy, he's never satisfied. The enemy will not stop until he's off the top of the mountain or we are back where we came from. That's the only time this battle will end. So fight on, brother. There's victory waiting for you. God bless you.